Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clown Ilya Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Welcome to the final episode of Swiftie School for 2023. How are we? We have made it to the end of the year. I am so excited to be doing a Swift recap of all the Swiftivities that occurred in 2023. If you're in my broadcast channel on Instagram, you know that I sent over a message asking you guys to contribute your favorite Taylor Swift moments of this year. And I too will be contributing and recapping all of my favorite moments because, you guys, this year was absolutely one for the books. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. I think it's safe to say before we dive into the specifics and nuances that make up the Swiftivities of 2023, I feel like we need to just talk about the overarching theme of community and sisterhood that has come out of the Taylor Swift fandom. I think it's really cool to be a Taylor Swift fan for a lot of reasons, but what I think I like most about being a Taylor Swift fan is there's something for everyone, right? Like you can resonate really strongly with a certain album and find people who feel that same way about a certain album. You can find people who love clowning and you can find people who enjoy clowning in the same way that you do. You can find small businesses that are making merchandise that you find interesting or aspiring. For example, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, like I'm holding my Eras Tour cup, I have fallen in love with Tabitha, the founder of this No White Space company that makes all of this really cute Eras Tour merch. It's totally my vibe. And I love connecting with her and making those, I don't know, Swift connections, if you will. And I think what I love that Taylor does really well is she's so, so vulnerable and relatable on so many different levels. And I find, especially as women, our walls are up a lot of the time for good reason, because I feel like society does a really bad job of pinning women against each other. And I feel like, at least for the majority of my adulthood, and honestly my childhood as well, I've always felt this weird tension with other women. Whereas one of the most admirable traits I find of men, while there's not many, one that I find really admirable of men is that they seem to have figured out breaking down that barrier. I love watching, if you guys have been around for a while, you know my boyfriend Matt. Matt and I have been together for 10 years, and one of my favorite qualities about him is Matt could go up to any man on the street, at valet, at a restaurant, at a coffee shop, and he genuinely means it when he's like, yeah, bro, let's hang out sometime. Nice to meet you. And then they actually hang out. There's like no walls up. There's no stigma. There's no barrier to entry, if you will, with men and relationship building. And I feel like the breakthrough moment of 2023, and we could talk a little bit more about the circumstances behind it. Obviously, I contribute a lot of it to Taylor Swift, but I think we've had this breakthrough moment as women, especially coming out of like the post-pandemic era. I think where we're just leaning so wholeheartedly into our femininity. And I love that for us. I think it's about dang time, you know? So to round that out, back to Taylor Swift, I think what she's done really well is she's served up herself on a silver platter, a gold platter, if you will, to the world, and has left literally nothing out there for question. Obviously, we question a lot clowning wise, but like we know who she is. We know what she's gone through. We know her struggles. We know all of these things. And I feel like it's inspired me to be more like that. And if you follow things beyond my Taylor Swift content, you know that's something I've been doing a lot recently, is trying to just really share my human experience, because I feel like Taylor Swift has done a wonderful job of that. And when I say it's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift, I genuinely do mean that. And I think this year, if anything, was the year to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. So whether you're 8 years old and listening to today's podcast, or you are 98 years old, which if there is anyone over the age of 90 listening to this podcast, I would love to have you on as a guest. That would be so very fun. Speaking of guests, I have a really fun guest in January that I have booked. It's going to be my first time having a guest on the episode, and I think a lot of you guys are familiar with him and are going to be very excited. You might tune in to some of his stuff on a weekly basis during some points of the year. So that's the hint that I will give you. But that's my two cents on kind of reflecting on this year and overarching, you know, what I'm admiring Taylor most for is her vulnerability has really transcended in so many different ways. And for me, I think when I look at starting 2023, I knew I was feeling this, but when I look back, I struggle a lot with loneliness. I struggle to make lifelong friendships. I look around and I feel like I'm a nice person. I love hanging out with people. I love meeting people. I love doing spontaneous things, but I definitely envy people who have this like robust friend group. And I've talked about this a lot before, but the Eras Tour and all things Taylor Swift have truly like reignited this fire in me. I feel so electric and so alive. And I have a lot of you to thank for that, because little did I know the internet would be such a joyful place to connect and find that harmony with other women. So when we're going through some of these top highlights that you guys sent in, which there's so many fun ones, I just think to keep that at top of mind, like the fact that we have all found something, all 135,000 of you that have tuned into this podcast, I think there's a really cool moment to be said about how we have all literally found that invisible string. We all come from different walks of life. We are all ages. We are all different races, genders, ethnicities, like all of these things. Literally, we all tune in from all around the world to talk about one thing that we all have in common. And how often can humans say that we have something in common, you know, all across the world, all across ages, genders, whatever it is. I think it's so, so cool that we found that. So it might seem silly. This is just a podcast and it's not that serious. None of this is ever that serious. And that's the fun of it, of course. But I am serious when I mean I genuinely am so proud and excited for all of us for finding something that brings us joy and for leaning into it, because the world is way too serious, honestly. The world is way too serious. The world and life is way too short for us to not focus on things that bring us joy. So in the wise words of Taylor Swift, and I do not know the quote exactly, but I will try to recite it, never let other people make you feel bad about the things that you are excited about. I love that quote from her. Don't quote me exactly on that quote, but I love that. I love that takeaway. And I think that's a perfect segue to talk about some of the moments that you guys sent in. And while you guys were sending these in, I was having a blast because they took me down memory lane. So hopefully that's the vibe that you take away after listening to some of these, and we can chat a little further, but let's just get right into them. In no particular order, we have Taylor winning more VMAs in one night than Kanye's entire career. If that is not the most iconic moment of 2023, I don't know what is. I mean, I love that photo of her. Like, she can't even carry all of them. She's got all of the awards in her arms and then all of them on the table. And I would just love to know, like, one day does Kanye want to step off of his high horse and just succumb to the fact he made a mistake? He made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Come on now. Come on, Kanye. Rooting for you. All right. Number two, Is It Over Now? An Out of the Woods surprise song mashup. If you somehow managed to miss this, boy, you are in for a treat. I'm actually jealous of you because this moment was so absolutely iconic. To jog your memory, there was a girl on TikTok. She made a very casual video. She was sitting in her car and she was like, wait a second, wouldn't it be so iconic if she mashed up these two songs? And it literally goes straight into, remember when you hit the brakes too soon? It's whenever there's like a break in the lyrics of Is It Over Now, you can perfectly fit that bridge of Out of the Woods into it. And Taylor did that as her surprise song right after liking that girl's video on TikTok like the night before. So shout out to that girl. She definitely wins for TikTok of the year because that moment was absolutely iconic. And if I can jump ahead to one of my personal favorite moments, if you have not been around for that long, Taylor did like one of my TikToks in March, 48 hours after the start of the Eras Tour. So she had just wrapped up Glendale, literally weekend one Eras Tour in the books. And at the time, there was so much buzz about the Eras Tour and everyone online was just like quaking in their boots, if you will, about, I mean, Vigilante, like just every single aspect of it. And I made a video and I said, it was like across the top of the screen. I'll have to repost it for you guys. Across the screen, I was like, me 48 hours into Swift talk, because the whole internet was just like it was Swift Talk everywhere. So I was like 48 hours into Swift Talk, and it was me and Tortellini, my cat, which I don't know where she is right now. She's usually right behind me whenever I'm recording. Me and Tortellini dancing. It was me doing the vigilante dance, like on the chair, but I was like way less graceful about it. And then Tortellini is shook. Like she's just sitting there, just sitting on her little booty, staring at me like, what on earth is happening? And it's very cute and very funny. And that is the TikTok that Taylor liked of me in 2023. So that's an iconic moment, but enough about me. Number three is when Taylor fangirled over NSYNC. I found this moment to be so random. It was so funny how like the friendship bracelet situation really like took the United States by storm. I know it'll transcend into the rest of the international shows, but when NSYNC was like, here's some friendship bracelets, Taylor, here's your award. And she like went totally bananas over it. I thought that was really funny. I guess Taylor is 7 years older than me. So I guess NSYNC was probably like a massive deal to her. I listened to NSYNC for sure when I was a kid, but I definitely wasn't like that crazy about them. But I do understand the NSYNC fandom, if you will. And that was a very cute and unexpected, definitely wasn't on my bingo card kind of moment. A lot of you guys were sending in like different dates, like specific days that we like really clowned hard that were super notable. I think November 10th is the date that traumatized us the most. I got November 10th, November 26th, and then August 9th. And us actually getting August 9th right was arguably one of the most rewarding Swiftie experiences. Because let's be real, no matter how much clowning we do, we never get it right. We never, ever get it right. Very, very rarely do we get it right. And on 8-9, that was the night. That was the I love that video that I have of me freaking out. I just keep yelling, the dress is blue. The outfit is blue. Everything is blue. And I was sitting right here where I'm sitting now. And Matt's like, what's blue? Like, what are you talking about? I was at home. I loved tuning in at the live stream that night. It was like absolutely crazy. Even though it was here in LA, I was so dead set on an announcement happening on 8-3 or 8-4, whatever the first night was. That was the night I like spontaneously bought tickets 2 hours before the show because I was convinced night one of LA, she was going to announce something. But 8-9 ended up being the night, and that's totally okay because I still had a fine and dandy time. This one, I think this one actually does take the cake for most iconic, becoming a billionaire. I mean, mic drop. Absolutely iconic. I love that picture of Taylor from one of the most recent Chiefs games where after the game, it was like 2 games ago, she wore the hand knit beanie situation. She was photographed. It was like a random iPhone photo of like a fan, but she went into like the kitchen staff at the Chiefs game and handed out $100 bills to everyone. And I'm like, you know what? We love that. We love a humble queen. Maybe that's not humble. Maybe there's another word for that, but we love that for her. I think in terms of announcements, obviously Speak Now and 1989 TV announcements were super fun and iconic. Kansas City really won the lottery, I feel like. But the I Can See You music video moment, I think I really enjoyed that moment in particular. I think Taylor's wearing like the yellow dress, the surprise song dress that she wears like over the 1989 outfit. When she's sitting there, I love that photo of her and the dancers watching the music video and her taking it all in. I think that's a really cool moment. And how often does an artist get to actually enjoy what's happening, like with their fans right there? I don't know. I think that was like a really cool moment. And we lose a lot of that just being in like the current digital age that we are. Not the digital age is going anywhere, but I think with like YouTube premieres and all of that, I sometimes wonder, like when she drops or announcements or like she comes out with a music video or whatever it is, like, is she just like sitting at home refreshing her phone? Or like, is she in a boardroom with her team? Is she just like out to dinner chilling? I always wonder what that's like for her or if she can even keep track of her own like schedule. I don't know. Very curious. But I think that was just really fun because you got to see her in real time, like taking it in. So I love that. Maybe I'm mixing that up now that I just said that. I Can See You music video was with Taylor Lautner. What was the one with, I think it's the Karma music video that had all of the dancers. Nonetheless, both of those moments were very fun. I think if I were to like take this list, which by the way, I have a ton on this list and we're going to move through them quickly, don't worry. I think if I were to take all of these and do like a top three moment, the tuna cat joke in Atlanta, for me personally, I'm like a crazy cat lady. My mom has a cat rescue. I love cats, and I also love dumb humor. I love like a dad joke kind of moment. And when Taylor did the tuna, it was Atlanta night two. Something was going on, I think, with her microphone or audio or something. So she was just sitting at the piano and she's like, I'm going to tell you guys a joke. And she says something about like a cat walks into a library. That joke was so dumb and so hilarious at the same time. Cause like, is that what she's like at parties? I love her. I'm obsessed with her. She's my favorite. So I would put the tuna moment as probably like number three. I think number two for me, while looking at this list, which I know so many of you guys would agree, because this was the moment, aside from the kiss, like the moment of her and Travis kissing after the concert, which was iconic, I think that her changing the Karma lyric to Guy on the Chiefs would definitely be like a number one, number two moment for like the Swifties, the Swiftum in general. I think one thing that a lot of you guys had sent in when I had asked this in the broadcast channel is just like seeing her happy is so fun. And to go like circle back to like being female and women supporting women, I feel like, again, we lost that a little bit. And it's so fun to just see someone be on top. And I feel like often when people see success, all of a sudden people respect someone when they've reached the pinnacle of success. It's like, oh, they have it figured out. They're pretty, they're famous, they're rich, they've got it all going for them. But it's like the climb is interesting because a lot of the way on the climb, it's easy for people to get really torn down or to criticize people or to say what they're doing is dumb. And I think that for Taylor, that stands true. All along this like journey, her past 17-year career, I feel like she was kind of on that climb where people were constantly questioning, can she move into the pop genre? Can she come out with another album? Can she keep people interested? Will this be her last tour? Blah, 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 blah. And I think that's the typical story of a female in general is being doubted. Because if a man did it, it was like, he's unstoppable. You know, he can't be tamed. He's on fire. He's making more money than everyone. But I feel like for women, we always have something to prove. Again, that's a story for another day. But with her, I feel like being a part of this climb and now seeing the gold medal and then also just seeing her be so glowy and happy, it's really fun. If you don't think that's fun, you're not a Swiftie, right? Speaking of fun, this one's a fun one. A lot of you guys said drunk Taylor at the VMAs was a highlight for you. The amount of memes that came out of the VMAs, like the VMAs in itself felt like 3 weeks. It was one night, but for some reason, I feel like we really did the most when it came to like what we dissected from the VMAs moment. She also kept us very well fed, which leads me to one word, Swiftober. October really was the month. That was the month where I feel like it was just wild. We had the end of eras in August and then moving into just like the fall, which we know October is like one of Taylor's favorite months to do drops and announcements and things. But Swiftober 2023 was absolutely one for the books. And obviously it could go unsaid, but the live streams at home just added like a really fun element. I feel like it was a new way for the media to like see fans being involved in something. I also love that Taylor has like acknowledged that we are live streaming at home. And I'm like kind of shocked, honestly. One of my like 2024 predictions would be, it would be like very smart of her to just add a live stream to her website. Like how easy would that be for her team to do? But I honestly think she likes the fact that we all kind of like do this mad dash and scramble to like get the live and figure it out and send the link and be in the chat. And I feel like it just wouldn't be the same if she did it on her website. And it would take a lot of that like mystique out of it. This one, again, I wouldn't say this is a top three moment, but I do think this goes down as one of the most iconic Swiftivities of all time. The Seattle earthquake. How are we still not talking? Like, I feel like we moved on a little too fast from that moment. Like, you're telling me that this singular human being, one little teeny speck on this floating rock, got enough people to listen to an album, become obsessed with the songs, pay lots of money, work for months at a time to get that money, to then spend it, to all be in one place, to then have the chance for like 3 minutes to sing a song together. I guess it was 3 hours. There's 3 hours that these people had together. And when doing so, they were so passionate about it that they caused an earthquake, like planet Earth. We're talking earthquake. That's bananas. What started as like a late midnight thought turned into an earthquake. I will never get over that. And honestly, I would be shook, literally shook, no pun intended, if there were not more earthquakes. Because I think that the Philippines, is she going to the Philippines? Because the Philippines fans are next level. They have 10,000 people turnouts for a fake Taylor Swift at the mall, let alone the actual T-Swizz herself. I think they definitely would be the people to beat us on the next earthquake situation. Very wholesome moment. I know a lot of you guys enjoyed this, and I think Taylor definitely enjoyed this, was the surprise, maybe not even surprise, like the random fireworks at the Santa Clara shows during, was it Enchanted? It's definitely the Speak Now era, when she's wearing the cupcake dress and she's singing, and then the fireworks start shooting off behind her. I don't think they were at the stadium. I think they were behind the stadium or at another venue nearby. And I also am not sure if they were purposefully done, but the way that they happened at the exact moment that she's standing there and the shot that the photographer gets with like the fireworks around her looks honestly like AI generated the photo. That's such a good moment and just like really serendipitous. Speaking of serendipitous moments, I feel like she's had so many of these on tour, but whenever she had like the plane fly over top at the same time as she had said, I thought the plane was going down. Why'd you turn me back around? And like at the exact moment she says plane, a plane goes shoom, like right over the stadium. I mean, come on. This woman is definitely a sorceress. Sorceress? Sorcerer. Oh, Reagan. Maybe in 2024, I'll learn how to talk. Not gonna lie, it is very late right now. I'm batching this episode before leaving for vacation, and it's way past my bedtime, but we are sticking through it because I'm doing better about delivering my episodes on time for you guys. Backflip to December. Can we talk about that? Another moment that we moved on way too fast from. I call it backflip to December when Taylor Lautner did a backflip on the stage and that came out of absolutely nowhere. Again, kind of like a very memeable moment, if you will. I have a couple more for you. And I'm just going to say these as quotes. Three words. Dads, Brads, and Chads. Do we need that on a shirt? I have another thing I wrote down in here that I think we need on a shirt, but I feel like Dads, Brads, and Chads, at the least, I need that on like a button, or I need it on like a phone case or a cup, a mug. I don't know. Dads, Brads, and Chads will forever be. You know what we need it on? Friendship bracelets. We need Dads, Brads, and Chads on friendship bracelets immediately. I love that for her. The second quote I will provide you. I think that Dads, Brads, and Chads takes cake for my favorite. Second favorite quote of Taylor Swift of 2023, the trash takes itself out. Every single time. Moment of silence for that one, please. I mean, need we say more? I think I'll end on a happy note in terms of your guys' submissions. The moment that Taylor said she was happy and in love, I guess she didn't say it, she sang it. I loved that moment. I loved that for her. Anytime that that moment comes up on my timeline on Instagram or TikTok, I get a little teary. Because again, I just love seeing other people win at life. Now to round it out, I will give you some of my most memorable moments. Aside from this podcast being truly a source of love, joy, and happiness for me, seeing this podcast hit the number one music podcast on Spotify was absolutely wild to me. Never in my wildest dreams, truly. I mean, I honestly don't even listen to podcasts that much, let alone like 6 months ago, had no clue how to do any of this. And now we have, the last time I checked, it was like 130,000 downloads, which is crazy. In 3 months, we have 20 episodes, number one music podcast on Spotify. Like, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. I think it's like number four in Australia, number three in the UK. I truly cannot. And then the obvious ones, handing the letter that I wrote Taylor to Andrea. I think every single day about the fact that like, did she read it? Does she actually read her fan mail? Does she have time to read it? I mean, if I'm being completely honest, on a more depressing note, I feel like she can't just like open her fan mail with her bare hands. Like, I'm sure she has a team that has to like test the fan mail to make sure there's, I don't know, no substances on it, or I don't know. I'm sure there's a whole screening process for fan mail. I mean, not that she has a PO box, but I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'm very curious if she just like willy-nilly opens envelopes from people like me. But nonetheless, handing that to her mom and her mom saying that she will cherish it forever, definitely a top moment for me. Close second is Scott, her dad, saying my name. Like, what? Absolutely wild. And then obviously handing me and Matt guitar picks was, I remember it was like slow, like, it was like slow motion. It really was. It really was like slow motion. Like, he started coming up the stairs. He's like, hey, Reagan. And then gets out of his pocket. And I was just like, oh my God, it's real. Like, the guitar picks are real. Craziness. Anyways, these are a bit more nostalgic and personal. But I remember I had like spent all this time making friendship bracelets before opening night of the Eras Tour, since it was like there was a lot of buzz of everyone saying online, like, yeah, we're making friendship bracelets and it's gonna be so fun and we're gonna trade them at the shows. And because I was going to opening night, like, I really didn't know if this was actually gonna be a thing or if like people were actually gonna make them or like if I was gonna be one of the only people who had a friendship bracelet. But I was standing at the airport. I had just flown into Arizona. I was by myself. I was wearing my Junior Jewels t-shirt that I had made. Tons of Swifties in the airport wearing different like Swiftie merch and whatever. And there's just like so much buzz. It was good energy. We're all so excited for the Eras Tour. And I was waiting for an Uber and a girl was standing next to me and I could tell she was a Swift and I could tell she was probably there alone too. And I was like, do you want to trade bracelets? And she happened to have a baggie, a little Ziploc baggie. And it was just such a fun and wholesome moment in 2023 for me. I think my number one most wholesome moment absolutely has to be whenever I was at the movie theater at the Grove. This was like my second or third time seeing the Eras Tour movie in theaters. And I was like, you know what? If I'm here, I'm going to live my life. Like, I'm going to live my life to the fullest. And I could tell it was that awkward thing where no one could tell if you stand up, if you sit, like, what's the vibe? What are we doing? And I was like, you know what? Screw it. And I stood up and I went to the stairs on the side and I started like doing the can-can as I was like making my way down the stairs. And I went to the front and there was obviously all the people in like the very front row seats. And I just started grabbing people's hands. Like, I reached out and grabbed people's hands. And then before I knew it, literally like 65 people were down there in front of the screen and we were just like screaming, dancing to Bad Blood and Shake It Off. And it was honestly one of like my favorite moments of my life. I thought it was so, so fun. I just love how music brings strangers together. And speaking of bringing strangers together, although this is They Shall Not Be Named Ticketmaster, I think there was something kind of fun about the thrill of like trying to get tickets. Like the frenzy, the random ticket edition announcements. I live for moments like that. And although they're like, you know, PTSD in hindsight, I think that sometimes more than like the same way getting ready is more fun than going to dinner. I think like the lead up and the preparation and the friendship bracelet making and the costume making and the planning with your friends and counting down the days and running to your car after the show to beat traffic and all of that sort of stuff is like the stuff worth living for. So with that, I wrote in big bold letters on my show notes over here, to femininity and beyond. I feel like we need that on a shirt because that is the perfect description of how I feel about all of you guys and what the energy is that I want to bring into 2024. I will say it now and I will say it again, to femininity and beyond. And that is also inclusive of anybody who is listening to this podcast. But femininity to me is just the sisterhood that we've cultivated through this fandom. And like I said, I feel electric. I feel alive. Taylor Swift has given me personally the gift of having something to live for and look forward to every single day and has taught me how to be vulnerable. And I hope that through me creating this podcast, you too, in your real life, can find sisterhood. And please know that whatever you are going through, whatever you are struggling with, I am so beyond glad that you exist, that you are here, that you took a chance on me and spend your hard-earned dollars on my merch or your precious, precious, sweet, limited time on this earth, listening to my podcast and me ramble about silly fun things, because after all, having fun is what life is about. So without further ado, thank you so much for tuning in to the final episode of Swiftie School for 2023. I am so beyond grateful to femininity and beyond. And as always, it is another great year to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. See you in 2024. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now, just know this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time.